Genesis chapter 19, beginning verse 1, somewhat lengthy portion of scripture here. Genesis chapter 19, a great, well-known mistake maker. And this is none other than Lot. But the Bible says he vexed his righteous soul daily. So he's one that loved the Lord, but he certainly was a bad example of what a Christian should be. Made a lot of wrong decisions, was in the wrong place, fellowshiped with the wrong people. And when the time came that he was to be taken out of his city because God wanted to destroy it and judge it, we're going to read here that the angels had to take his family by the hand. I thought that's curious. By the hand and take him out of their house. Genesis chapter number 19, verse 1 says, "And there came two angels to Sodom, where Lot was living at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." What always impressed me about this habit that they had of bowing before other people? That shows a submission and it shows a humility. I like that he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, these were special individuals, I know that. But also in other places in the Bible, they did this between individuals. They showed great humility towards each other. Now, verse 2. "And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into the servant's house and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Then there was that horrible scene where the homosexuals came and they wanted to know these men. In other words, physically is what it was. And then verse 11, "And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou there any besides, son-in-laws and sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place." Bring them out. It's time to go. You got to leave. Verse 13. "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." Christians can live in such a way that when you try to tell some people the truth, they'll think you're kidding about it. They will not take you seriously. So, of course, you don't want to be in that condition as a Christian. You want to have the reputation and set the kind of example. When you talk to somebody about spiritual things and about serious things, they take you seriously. But Christians can live in such a way that when we try to reach people and try to witness to them, they do not take us seriously because of the way we're living. But then verse 15, "When the morning arose and the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand." So first of all, it was Lot that lingered, and they had to take him by the hand, "and upon the hand of his wife, and the hand of their two daughters." Somehow they got everybody. "And the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord." Either he didn't want to leave, or he didn't want to see the city destroyed, maybe both. "Behold now, this city is near to flee into thee, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither." You want to stay close. "Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Verse 22, I'm going to talk about that here shortly. But he's saying here, hurry up now. We got to get out of here, escape thither. Because until you leave, this judgment will not come. And it's time for the judgment. "Therefore the name of that city is called Zoar. The sun was risen." And it goes on with the story there. They finally did leave. God's message from heaven here. What his message is like. What is his message? I think in this story we see several thoughts. I'm going to bring up about 9 of them tonight. 9 things that's true of God's message. This is really a picture of the world. Sodom pictures the world. Lot pictures a Christian in the world. It's also a picture of a bad Christian, of what you do not want to become. He lost his children. He lost his wife. When you don't live according to the Lord and as he would want you to live as a Christian, you lose. You lose. You just lose. That's all there is to it. You want to live for the Lord. Thirdly, it's also a picture of the rapture, because before the rapture takes place, the Christians are taken out of this world before the rapture takes place. And so we see all this in this story here of nine things I'm going to bring up. But let's get involved. What is God's message? What's involved in God's message? Number one, it's a personal involvement in God's message. Jesus Christ himself became a man. God was manifest in the flesh. He got personally involved in the salvation of mankind. Nothing is more effective than personal contact. Talking to people yourself, inviting them out to church. Just as last week, I didn't tell the story this morning, but this last week, I go to the Subway shop in Wycliffe there on Euclid Avenue once in a while, maybe once every couple weeks. So I stopped there this week, and the one young lady behind the counter there, but this time I thought, I'm going to give her an invitation to church. I'm going to give her one of our little handouts. I'm going to give her, put a newsletter in there and give that to her, invite her out to church. And I'm waiting for her reaction. When you first give it to them, it speaks volumes, doesn't it? If they go, oh, yeah, thank you. If they have kind of that reaction. But she looked at it. She started reading it. She says, oh. And she started reading it. I thought, this is a good reaction. And she said, well, I live in Euclid. I said, well, our church is right in Euclid. Come on out. So maybe she'll show up here one of these weeks. But she was interested. I thought, you know, if I had made that personal attention, if she would have found the track that I had left somewhere else and just picked up and read it, it wouldn't have been as effective as that personal touch. God's message involves personal contact. Jesus Christ himself came into this world, and he sends us out to personally talk and invite people. Every outreach we have is good. The radio program is good. Giving out tracts is excellent. We encourage that, of course, all the time. But there's just something about a personal contact when you talk to people and you invite them out personally. Then they see you. And they don't pick up a track and say, well, I wonder what these people are like. They're probably weird at this church. And what kind of church is this? And here's this track. But when they see that a real live human being is attached to this invitation and this church, it makes a difference. But I think most of the people come out to our church have come out because somebody personally invited them. That personal touch. Jesus Christ personally got involved, and he was one of these three that came there. So number one, God's message, a personal involvement. Number two, it's a message of separation. Get out of Sodom. There was a real problem there in verse 20. Now, he knew he'd have to leave Sodom, but he really doesn't want to leave. So if he can't stay there, he wants to stay at least close to Sodom. Verse 20 says that. Behold, now this city is near, close to flee unto, and is a little city. I shouldn't need to separate too much. I'll stay away from the sins of the world, but it'll just be a little ways, though. I don't want to get too far away from the world. I want to be close by and maybe just have a little difference there. Isn't that all right? Lot really had a problem, didn't he? Lot really had a problem. He loved Sodom. He wanted to stay in Sodom. And the city was going to be destroyed, so he said, well, if I can't stay in Sodom, at least let me stay close by to Sodom. That's the way a lot of people think. If I can't have the world, I know when you become a Christian, God wants you to live a holy life. He wants to live you a separated life, and God's not pleased unless you're living righteously for him. I know that, but I don't want to get that far away from the world. That's extreme, too fundamentalist. I mean, you're too extreme on these things. Don't be a Lot. Get far away from the world. Get far away from the world. Don't be a Lot here and try to stay nearby. So it's a message. God's message is a message of separation. God's message is a message of get away from Sodom. Get away from the world. Be careful of that. Number three, God's message is a message of judgment and coming destruction. You know, it's interesting there in verse where it says that the cry of them is waxen great. God responds to sin. Verse number 13. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. The message of God is a message of coming judgment and destruction. Read the book of Revelation. You'll see it all there. God's going to destroy this world. This world's going to be destroyed. He wants us to live separately. He wants us to live differently. But he also understands that we understand that the world is going to be judged and coming under judgment. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse until it reaches the place where God sees it as so bad and so spiritually corrupt, like that leprosy that eats away at the physical body, eats away at the flesh, and it reaches the place someday when there's nothing more you can do, and all you can do is destroy it. That's what God says. Now, God will watch over you. God will take care. Don't get scared, but please don't expect things to get better. They're not going to get better. They're going to continue getting worse. So it's a message of coming judgment and destruction. Understand that. So don't live for this world. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Number four, God's message is a message of warning. Warning. Verse 15. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. It's a message of warning. You can get out of this. You can't escape. But the warning is by the mercy of God. Every time you witness to some sinner, every time you witness to somebody, it's showing them mercy. They don't deserve another chance to be saved. It's only by the mercy of God that they have another opportunity to hear the gospel, another opportunity to believe the Bible, another opportunity to go to church, another opportunity to go to the Bible Baptist Temple. That's a good church to go to, by the way. But a message of warning. It's by the mercy of God. We don't deserve the warnings. We don't deserve to be told the truth any more than we have already. We don't deserve that. But God is merciful. And even his warnings are merciful. Because he does not want us to die in a guilty state. Jesus Christ himself, all he went through ought to prove that to you. What he allowed himself to go through, suffering for our sins, dying on that cross. How could anyone say that God is unjust? How can anyone blame God? The fact that he went through all the things he did to try to spare us and save us, and so we can be forgiven, to provide the only way to heaven. And people say, no, God's not fair. No, you're right. God is not fair. He gives us more than we deserve. God's not fair. He's more merciful towards us than we deserve. I'm glad he's not fair in that direction. Number five, it's a message of priority. He talked about the lingerers there in verse 15 and 16. Don't linger. Take thy wife, take thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the danger of delay. One of the most frustrating things to me personally is when people linger about spiritual things. When they linger about coming out to church, when they linger about reading the Bible, when they linger about the important eternal spiritual things they should do. So many people, they want to get saved later. I'll get saved later. I'll come out to church later. I'll start reading the Bible later. I'll think about salvation later. You know the only problem with that? You might not be alive later. You don't know. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness first. Make God number one in your life. Do what he wants you to do number one. And like the saying says, there's always time for what you put first. There's always time for what you put first. You say, well, on Sunday mornings I like to sleep in. Well, put the Lord ahead of your sleep. Put sleep number two. Get saved later? How do you know you're going to be alive later? And people get saved when God, the Holy Spirit, is convicting them, working on their heart. They're not going to have that desire later. That's what I've seen. People who say later aren't interested later. They seem to have lost all interest and all desire and conviction and fear and understanding of any of that later. No, now, today, don't put it off. Don't delay. Don't be a lingerer as Lot lingered here. Let him be your bad example and learn from his mistake. Don't make the same mistake. Number six, it was a message of escape. You know, this Sodom is this world. And escape is possible. I try not to get caught up with the headlines in the newspapers and on television, all the news programs, and all the bad things happening. How's that one verse go? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If I'm afraid about things and I'm fearful about what's going to happen to our country, that is not the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God does not give us fear. There's no fear in love, the Bible says too. I love God. He takes care of me. I don't have that spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God has given us. So I don't get afraid about these things because I escape, and although not physically this world, I escape emotionally from this world. Although this world and all the things happening are scary, I have a peace in my heart because God is there, that peace that he gives. It's a message of escape. Come on out, Lot. You got to leave the city. Escape, escape. Number seven, it's a message of life and death. It is that important. What's more important than this life? Eternal life. Eternal life is more important. Verse number 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. It's a life and death thing. You've got to leave. You got to leave Sodom. You got to make these decisions. It's a life and death thing. So please, friends, take this seriously. They told Lot, he says, if you don't leave this city, you're going to die in this city. It is literally life and death. You're going to be consumed. You're going to be killed. Friends, when we give out the gospel here and we teach the Bible, and we invite people in here to hear the gospel, it is literally life and death. I wish people would take that more seriously. It seems like some can come in here and they just kind of sit around and enjoy the service. They get something out of it, and then they leave the same way. If people can come to our church and at least not get a little scared by the time they leave, I wonder. Now, I'm not talking about the fear, talking about the previous point, but this fear. To take life seriously, be sober-minded about this. Realize you have an eternal soul, and you're going to live somewhere eternally. The Bible says there's only two locations. There's a heaven, and there's a hell. And one of those locations you do not want to go to. In whichever location you arrive at, you are there forever. There's no second chances. I wish I could scare more people. This is Sodom. The judgment of God is coming. You need to get out. You need to escape. And this is life and death here. And it really is when we preach this word. It is life and death. We need to understand that. We need to understand how serious it is. Maybe people don't take me seriously as they need to. Maybe they say, because Pastor, you tell some jokes and have some humor when you're preaching, and afterwards in the hallway, he always seemed to be smiling and happy, and I am, but friends, this is the most serious thing in the world, what we do here. Eternity is at stake. We talk about that. We preach about that. God's called us to warn people. Eternity is at stake. Don't take this lightly. Don't say, oh, that's just that little church in Euclid, Ohio there, that Pastor Andy Rusnak. Hey, that's all right. He's a nice enough guy. It's not that important. It's life and death. What we talk about, what we teach here, what we preach here is literally life and death. You can be consumed in the coming judgment, but you can escape. You can escape. Number eight, it's a message of assurance and certainty. You know, Lot, as bad a Christian as he was, there was something that they could not do until he left. Again, verse number 21. Verse 21. And he said unto them, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot. Notice the strong words here. I cannot do anything till thou be come thither, until you get out of there. They had to take the wife, they had to take him, they had to take the daughters by their hand, and literally they had to kind of drag them out of that city because they did not want to go. You know what this is like? It's almost like saying that if the rapture was voluntary, that some would not want to go. Now, isn't this a type of the rapture? Lot being taken out of Sodom, a type of the rapture. And before they could bring the judgment, they had to be taken out. But Lot did not want to go. They had to take him by the hand, and they had to make them leave. And they said there, "We cannot do anything till thou come thither." Lot did not want to leave Sodom when he told judgment was coming and he had to go. He said, "If I can't stay here, can I at least go somewhere close by?" Boy, what a problem. Let me tell you something. The rapture is mandatory. Every Christian will go whether they want to or they don't. But they had to be literally taken by the hand, brought out of there, because there's something could not happen until they were gone. Again, a type of the rapture. God is not going to bring the 7-year tribulation period into this world until the Christians are all gone. There will be no judgment, 7-year judgment, until all the Christians are gone. He had to drag Lot out of there. Lot didn't want to go. He was a picture of a really bad Christian here. He sure was in many ways. But if the rapture was voluntary, some Christians would not even want to go. They got so caught up in the world. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Seek the things that are spiritual, that are godly, not the things in this world. This world has a way of just drawing you in, drawing you in. Be careful of that. And then the last point, and this is one I've covered already somewhat, his message was not taken seriously. Again in verse 14, the end of verse 14. "But he that seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." And like I said, I've even preached on that. That a Christian can live in such a way that when those kind of Christians try to witness to somebody and warn them of the eternal consequences of their behavior, that the people do not take them seriously. Because their lifestyle, because of their lifestyle. He said, "What are you talking about? You live just like I do. What are you talking about? There's no difference between you and me." They don't even take you seriously. A Christian can't live that way, where people will not even take them seriously. There's no separation. There's no difference there. There's no seriousness about your faith. You go around and tell jokes and laugh and take everything not seriously as the world does. You don't really get serious about trying to win people to the Lord and witnessing to them, and because you don't even believe or think about it. It's life and death. Life and death. You know, in conclusion, in my notes here for this message tonight, I just have one thought in my conclusion. Don't be a Lot. Heavenly Father, please bless now as we give a verse of invitation. So Lord, help us to learn from these things, not to make this mistake, but also to think about the good things, that the rapture is coming and we will escape the great judgment, the tribulation, 7-year tribulation period. Thank you for that, Lord. We can look forward to that day. We can look forward to being in heaven with you, all the joys there, and Jesus Christ personally involved. More than personally involved, he's willing to die for our sins, suffer for our sins. So, Lord, also may we follow that good example. So, Father, bless the invitation. Meet spiritual needs tonight, whatever they might be, because this is an important time. In Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen.